God for every blessing that he gives to us. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, but we thank you not only that you have come for us, for our salvation and our eternal home, but you have also come so that we might have life to the full, that we might be filled with your goodness through the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, the congregation that you have given us, our community where we can serve, and we thank you for this full life that you promised to us. Lord, we still come and we feel we have needs. I pray that you would meet each one where they are, and that we would know your goodness in a special way today, to your glory. Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, we have come to 1 Corinthians 13. In the past, we've been looking at, in the past few weeks, we've been looking at the Spirit, who the Spirit is, the Spirit's interaction with us. We talked a couple of weeks ago about the fruit of the Spirit. Now notice that in this case, fruit is singular. It isn't the fruits of the Spirit where you have one and maybe not the other. All of the fruit is planted in your garden. All of the fruit should be growing in your heart. The seeds are there, and it isn't fruit that it's like the grocery store where you go and you just pick up the finished item. The potential for the finished item is there. Now, just as a reminder, when we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, it's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And Paul says, against these things there is no law. Now, when we move to last week, we were talking more about the gifts of the Spirit. So we have the fruit of the Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit is in us. It is something that affects our heart and affects, therefore, our attitudes and what we do. The gifts of the Spirit is God empowering us to do something that is outside of us. It might be teaching. It might be encouraging. It could be giving. It could be acts of faith. And we're not talking about faith unto salvation. All of us as believers who have put our hope in Christ have experienced extraordinary faith. And it is the Holy Spirit that gives us that, but we're also talking about faith that can move the mountains. And when we looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, as I noted last week, that wasn't even the exhaustive list. There are some things listed in other parts of Scripture that are gifts of the Spirit, and some of the things that were listed in Corinthians aren't with that list. Paul's intent was not to give an exhaustive list anywhere. We can put one together with what is put there, but there are many things that may still be a gift of the Spirit that if we put it under the microscope, scope of what qualifies as a gift of the Spirit, it may very well be one. Here's the microscope. Does it edify the church? Does it move the church forward? Does it encourage someone else's faith? Is someone different because of the gift that you processed? As I was doing the funeral this week for Dwight, his daughter Vicky had been going through some of Dwight's items, and Dwight had kept a letter from many years ago that was written to him after his wife had passed away. And it was written the day after, and this young man who Dwight worked with had written him a letter to say, you know, I had been part of the church, and a church and a part of the faith, but I kind of wandered away, and I had my doubts, and I was wandering. And by watching you and the way that you lived, it rekindled a faith in me. What is it that rekindled a faith in him? It was watching Dwight and seeing gifts of the Spirit and the way that he lived externally that caused new faith to spring up in this young man. And it was a beautiful moment. It impacted Vicky. She said she's going to read it almost every day from now on because it reminded us there of what is going on. If I may put it this way, we need the fruit of the Spirit so that we might be empowered to do things that are outside of us. But the fruit of the Spirit is the hand that fits into the glove of the gifts. A glove without the hand is motionless, it is formless, it is useless. It needs the hand to do what it needs to do. One of the things that the gifts do is give an external presentation or figure of the hand without seeing the hand. But you know that there is a power there. It also protects the hand. So exercising the gifts, the gifts of the Spirit protects the fruit of the Spirit that is within us. Fruit that is not properly used just rots away or does not proceed in its growth. And when we heard these things that were talked about in 1 Corinthians 13, I'm glad that Linda included that verse. I knew it was there. If you didn't notice, that's the title of the sermon, A More Excellent Way. Paul is not saying that the fruit of the Spirit or the gifts of the Spirit are not important, and that he's not saying they are not excellent. He says that the love that is shown is a more excellent way. And as we read 1 Corinthians 13, I want you to realize that the fruit of the Spirit is intertwined with every single one of the things that are listed there. And the first thing that he starts with in the list is love. Now, remember when I cited what the fruit of the Spirit was? What's the first one? Love. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against these things there is no law. The fruit is directly addressed in 1 Corinthians 13. The fruit that is entwined directly and stated specifically is love, patience, and kindness. It says it right at the beginning. Love is patient. Love is kind. The fruit that is indirectly addressed, if you look closely, is joy, peace, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Every single one of them is the hand that fits into this glove. So now that you've got that, let me read a part to you again. This chapter compares the value of not just one fruit, but all of them. But it starts with this. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. I had the privilege of having my granddaughter here this week. It was an impromptu visit. That girl can make noise. And I did, but in some cases, some of the noises that she made was a sound of love. The silent cry in the night, Papa, Mama. I don't usually like being awakened in the middle of night, but I didn't mind for her. Why? Because it was love. Love makes a reaction different. And she was calmed because she knew the reaction was a reaction of love. And that's the difference. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. Now, stick on that point for a minute. I have met many Christians who try and say, I have this particular gift, Do you have one? In fact, do you have that one? Well, if you don't, maybe you should consider whether you're a Christian or not. My friends, what the real question is, do you have the fruit of the Spirit? Because if you don't have the fruit of the Spirit, you have to ask whether God is real in your life. Because every Christian should be exemplifying the fruit of the Spirit. But Paul specifically states, not everyone has every gift. The gift I'm specifically thinking of is some people come and say, well, do you speak in tongues? I say, well, I'm fluent in German. You know, God gave me that. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels and have not love, I am nothing. So whether I'm speaking a foreign language to prepare, to present the gospel of Christ, or whether, you know, it is what is called a prayer language or whatever, that does not make me a better Christian than anybody else. Did you hear me? But that doesn't mean we shouldn't seek the greater gifts. That is what Paul says. In another part of Scripture, this is kind of appropriate, it is outlined that gifts or offices are apostle, prophet, evangelist, shepherd, and teacher. Those are some capacities that gifts fill in. And they've got an acronym for it. You know, it kind of sounds like a pastor, doesn't it? But it's called APEST. See, I'm just fulfilling my job explanation, right? What I'm supposed to do. We can pester each other, Paul even says, goad each other on to good works and love. So when we see another one stagnant, we push them on a little bit in love, because nobody likes to be goaded if they don't know that you have their best interest at heart. My friends, we can feed the whole town every month with the drive-through meal or food pantry or someplace else. But if they don't know that if we are not operating with the fruit of the Spirit, then it will take them no place spiritually. Feeding them is good, but we also have the goal of feeding spiritually, getting them closer to the Holy Spirit, closer to God and to Christ. I had at the funeral, the gravesite is usually very quick. It's supposed to be. But I was talking with Jay Markwell, and Jay has seen a lot of funerals and a lot of pastors. And he said, well, that was very concise and to the point. I said, well, I imagine you've seen the other side. And he said, yeah, I was down at the Hazel Dell, and there was one pastor, took off his coat, rolled his sleeves up and said, we're going to be here a while. But when I left, he said something very poignant. And this wasn't my intent, but he's heard a lot of funerals. You know that? He's heard a lot of eulogies. But as I was going, he said, hey, thanks for the food for thought. It isn't because I am a brilliant speaker that Jay is thinking about things. It is because even at a funeral service, especially for someone who has died in the Lord, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. It says that in the Psalms. But to know, to go in with the idea that you love the other people who are there, even if you're just meeting them today, so that you can provide comfort, so that you can lift up the memory of a man, so that you can give peace and solace to the family. All of that stems from love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. This is the greatest commandment. And the second is like unto it, to love your neighbor as you love yourself. With that, let me put a caveat in there. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Some people have trouble loving their neighbor because they don't love themselves. They're still fulfilling the command, but they're not loving their neighbor because they hate themselves. We also have to love ourselves. I personally find that one of the hardest things to do. How do I love myself without overflowing with pride, getting a big head, participating in the self-help that the world tells you to have? Think positively about yourself. If they're really honest, you're moving toward a thing where it says, watch out for number one. But love cries out, watch out for everything else except number one. Love is sacrificial, not self-focused. Well, the scripture actually said it better than I do. Here it tells us that what love is. Love is patient, and love is kind. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. See how these are intertwined together? If any of you ever done some weaving, there's the warp and the woof, or the woof and the warp. I don't know which way it is. Some of the threads you will see on the loom, you will never see them again, because they are overlaid with what is meant to be seen, whether it's a pattern, whether it is a tapestry that is being woven. And for us, we need the foundation of the filling, the fruit of the Spirit, so that our works, which are to be seen by others, may be seen and glory given to God. If you don't have one of those two things when you are weaving, you don't have a product. Love is patient, love is kind. Then this scripture goes into what love is not. And do you know that that is a lot longer? Do you know why? Because when you are trying to move forward, you give a few goals there. Love is patient and love is kind. If I said to you today, be patient this week, find out when you're kind of getting heated up a little bit, and just be patient. And especially in the political atmosphere, be kind. You may not be successful in all of it, but just giving you two things, doesn't that give you hope that you can actually do it? But Paul here identifies the things that love is not, because we're really good at that. And that comes naturally, doesn't it? So love is not, it does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. Well, if you did that, that wouldn't be kind and gentle, would it? It's not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. Oh, self-control. It keeps no record of wrongs. You know what happens when you don't keep a record of wrongs? You find joy and peace. Love does not delight in evil. That's because you have goodness. But it rejoices with the truth. So we have two things that it does, a long list of what it doesn't, and then one final thing that it does. It rejoices with the truth. It loves the truth. But it's not the truth that you think is true just because it resides in your head. It is the truth that is given to us by God. It is the truth that is found in Scripture. Now we have the section of what love does. And you can relate this to a family, but what God is asking us to do as His family is to put this outside the bounds of family, outside the walls of the building where the church meets. Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love is the engine that allows us to fulfill and use our fruit. Love never fails. I want to make a distinction here. In loving, I have failed. There are times where I have not been kind to someone. There are times where I have not been gentle with someone when I should. There are times when I have not been loving. We can all point to those points. The question is that fruit growing in you? But also to realize when we do love, sometimes it looks like you get bitten back, like it has done no good whatsoever. But what the scripture is telling us, love anyway, because love never fails. It always brings a harvest. Whether it seems like the ground is dry, whether it seems like there are plants trying to choke it out, birds eating the seed, or rocks trying to keep its head down, love never fails. How many of you want to be a success? Yeah, I imagine everybody. Those of you who didn't raise your hand, you're really shy. We all want to succeed. If you want to succeed but not know all of the times that you succeed, go love somebody. And I'm not talking about the sweet and, you know, nice. It might be nice when you go. Sometimes love means going and correcting a brother or a sister who has gone astray, praying for them. I have no doubt that my walk as a Christian has been blessed by grandparents, aunts, and uncles who have prayed for me, and I have no idea who it is, how long they prayed, how vociferously they spoke. I have no idea, but their prayers of love, their sacrificing their time for me, has allowed me to stand here today. Love never fails. There's an old song, keep on casting your bread upon the water, yeah, and it's going to come back home on every wave. That's an Old Testament allusion. It's an allusion to faith, where you take what you have and you think, this is what I'm going to eat today, but God is asking it of me. I will sacrifice it to Him. I will give it, and it floats away. And then coming back home on every wave is everything you need and more. When the Israelites left Egypt, they left behind their security. When they were out in the desert, they said, maybe it's better if we go back, because at least we have leeks and onions by the Nile. You know, we had water and we had food. Wasn't good food, but we had water and food. But when they followed God, they found manna in the desert. They found quail in the desert. And at every turn, when they started to despair, I have to say, my heart might as well. Even when they were unfaithful, God was faithful because of His love for them. Love never fails when we act in love, and love never fails when our God is our God. He will always be there and always supply. Several weeks ago, the ministers got together. We saw we have opportunity to distribute more meat through the food pantry. We didn't have enough freezer space to accept free meat. And so we took a step of faith and we allocated $1,000 and bought a 24 cubic foot freezer, chest freezer. So that got delivered on Tuesday. On Thursday, the 100 Women Who Care met and the food pantry was drawn to receive the funds, and it is more than going to cover the freezer. Keep casting your bread upon the water. Keep loving where you can love, and let God worry about the bill. There was another part where we received something personally that met a need that we had just this week. Love never fails. Love never fails when you receive it. Love never fails when you give it. Now, the one thing that I want to note here, the gifts of the Spirit, not the fruit of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit will pass away. Remember, the gifts of the Spirit are to edify the church. And when it says here in the Scripture that when the perfect comes, the imperfect will pass away. Some people have interpreted that to mean, now that we've got the Bible, we don't have to have the gifts of the Spirit. My friends, we need the gifts of the Spirit just to understand the Bible. Much of prophecy is clarifying what is written here. If you read that section in Scripture, what it is talking about is when Jesus comes back, we'll put away these childish things because now we see like we have sunglasses on in a darkened room. But then we will see Him face to face. If we see Jesus face to face, will we need any other explanation of love? Will we need to encourage anybody else to love the Lord and serve Him? Even now, the word is written upon our hearts, but it's going to be absolutely clear to everyone. I'll put it this way. As a preacher in heaven, I am out of a job. Because there will be nothing I can make clear to you anymore. Jesus, the Son of God, will be standing before you, and we will know Him as much as He knows us. I'm looking forward to that retirement. And I'm looking forward to what that retirement means for you. What a glorious thing. Love embodied face to face. When we grow out of childhood, it's referencing the day when Jesus comes back and these things that, yes, help move us forward and help grow us that have been important here become unimportant. Not because they aren't good things, but because we will be nourished fully. Anybody eaten some baby food recently? Not me. Why not? Does it mean there isn't any nourishment there? No. It means it's too small of a portion, and it may not taste as good as it did when I was a baby. There's a reason we don't eat like we did then. But eating then was necessary, wasn't it? And so in the same way, when we are before Christ and the banquet table is spread before us, we no longer do the things that are referred to as childish. Not childish because they are wrong, but childish because it's the only thing we had to get us together, to get us mature, to get us moving forward. Okay? So we don't get married to the gifts, but we exercise the gifts. Worship team, I'm going to invite you to move forward. I'll remind you of this. The fruit of the Spirit is the driver of the gifts, just like a hand in a glove is the driver of the glove. It empowers and informs the gift. Every believer has fruit, and fruit is expected of every believer. All of the believers, all of the fruit. Oh, I like love and joy, especially the love part if it's coming my way. But kindness and self-control, I'm not so hot on that. Maybe you need to change your mind. Okay? Not every gift is present in a believer, but the gifts are for the edification of the church. Gifts are always held in tension with the fruit. We must have the fruit first. With that in mind, we may have a little bit of teaching. I don't want to make a sermon on all the gifts, but enough to give an example of the necessity for it and how it might work. I don't know if I'll do that or not, if we will move to someplace else, but I encourage you to really dig into what matters eternally. Paul rightly ends it with these things. These three remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest is love. Let me blow your mind before we sing. When we are all finally in heaven, these are all eternal things that he just listed. You've seen Jesus face to face, and we're going to live in God's mansions forever, with the fruit being complete in us and used in heaven. What do you need faith for? But faith is listed as eternal. What do you need hope for? Our hope is fulfilled, but hope is eternal. And what do you need to sacrifice for in love? I don't know, but we do. Because love is eternal.